I feel kind of like a young man down in León. His name is Beto, and I remember one of the first times he got up to speak in the church, and he was real nervous, and I don't know if it was before or after, but I think it was Joe or one of the guys told him, look, you don't have to be nervous here in front of us. We want to hear what you have to say, not like out on the street where they want to throw rocks at you and everything. So I'll try to remember that then.
Amen.
That y'all want to hear what I have to say. It is good to be here. This is my first mission conference to speak at. Like Mike said, the first mission conference I ever attended, I was single the first Sunday of the mission conference, and I was married the second Sunday of the conference. And then, of course, last mission conference, we had a baby. And so that's why I didn't make it last year. But this year I'd like to read you a verse in Philippians 4. And it's just something that about 3 months ago, something I was going through. And I just want to read the first phrase first, and then I'm going to go on with it. It says, be careful for nothing. And before I ever got married, I didn't consider myself to be a real nervous person or ever worried really about much. I always thought of my sisters more that way and everything. She was always kind of always tense and everything. But when I got to Mexico, it was just like there are all these diseases people are talking about. It's kind of like filthy, and you know, you can get so many things from drinking the water and, oh, I don't know, just so many things it seemed like. And I really started to get worried. And then even, I guess it was about 3 months ago when, when Uncle Dale, found out that he had his cancer, and my father-in-law, I had known for a while that he had this diabetes and everything. I started getting really, really worried about all the different kind of diseases there are, you know, and this is really going to sound probably kind of silly to y'all, but this is just, you have to bear with me. This is what happened. I got like, I don't know if it was the devil that made me get hooked on it, but I started reading the medical encyclopedia, and I would go to that in the middle of the night instead of the Bible, you know. It was crazy, and I, you know, just get hooked seeing these different things. Well, Jenny's been acting like that. I wonder if she has this, and Stephen's looked like that, and it was really, I know it sounds silly, but it was really getting like the best of me, and it was, I was going crazy. In fact, Dar can testify, when she came down to visit us in May, I had her check on the back of my head because I thought I had a brain tumor. I know this is not the Anyways, what I'm getting to is that one night while Dar was still there, I just said, this is ridiculous. And I said, Dar, I'm just going to go up. And finally, I decided to take that step. I need to go spend some time in the Word instead of going to that silly medical encyclopedia. And I did. And this is where I had left off in my Bible reading. It was in Philippians 4. And it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's what really, it just gave me that peace, and I didn't worry anymore. I don't know if Dar didn't notice a change in me, but all of a sudden it was like,
amen.
I had that peace, and for one thing, it was kind of silly because there was nothing to be worried about in the first place. But anyways, God gave me that peace, and what was more important was about 3 weeks ago when Brent Janice came up here, I saw a much worse sickness going out and preaching with Silly, with Billy. When I was going out, I decided to go out preaching with Billy. Since Brent...
That wasn't a flip, was
it? It was.
She said she'd get you back. I preach after her.
I went out preaching with Billy since Brent was going to be up here, and I didn't want him to go out alone, so I went with him. And, you know, I saw that I had nothing to worry about at all. These people are so spiritually blind, and they just didn't want to hear, and it really got me right there that I had nothing to be worried about as far as anything. I mean, I need to worry about these people and pray about them that were so, so blind. It opened my eyes to how blind they were. And also, I want to read, this is kind of going off to a different thing, but it's in Genesis 2 and verse 18. But like I said, I started accompanying Billy since he didn't have a partner. And in Genesis 2:18 it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him."
Amen.
When Billy got married to me, in fact, he said it again just the other day at the table, that he did not get married, he says, for himself. He says he got married for his children, and I do understand that he did. He got married because his three children needed a mother. But I also just kind of in myself feel he needed help. I mean, the Lord says men need help. No, seriously. I looked up the word help, and it said to give aid or assistance to someone. No, but seriously, I'm not trying to be funny, but I was just what you said the other day, Mom, in one of the mornings meetings was, she refreshed us again that in Joshua, even strong and courageous men need to be encouraged.
Yes,
and I was thinking along those same lines when she shared that. That was really neat, because when I got married to Billy, I guess I looked up to him like, man, a guy who had gone, like you were saying the other day too, through some hard times in his life. And I just never thought I needed to ever encourage him, and I guess, you know, I really never have given him as much encouragement as he needed. And I've seen in these last 3 weeks that, boy, does he need encouragement. I mean, it's rough out there, and I hadn't realized it until recently, these last 3 weeks going preaching with him, that he needs my encouragement, and
Amen.
I need to give it to him. And along those lines, in Proverbs, let me check out which one I want to share first. I have two here in Proverbs, but Proverbs 27:15. It says that a continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now, I guess us women have talked about it a lot down there, and we knew what, in a sense, what our husbands go through out there, and I haven't come to this point, but I want to come to this point, that when Billy walks in the door, he doesn't need to hear me say, "Well, honey, you forgot to pick up ice," or something. You know, "Honey, why didn't you do this? Honey, can you hold the baby? You know, I had him all morning. Honey, can you do this?" I mean, I saw people out there that wanted to stone us, you know, one of the blocks we were on, and I don't need to be, when he comes home, it needs to be a place of refuge he can come home to, and I don't need to be dripping and nagging. I do have a joke on Billy, though. I finally figured him out the other day. He is, it's taken me 2 years to figure this out, though. He's always telling me, I married you for my memory, because I need you to remind me of things, you know. And then when I remind him of something, he'd say, "Would you quit nagging me?" So I have his number now. But seriously, I know there are times when I do, even, you know, probably here sometimes when we're visiting, if I'm tired or something, I can't stay up very late. I kind of like, "Come on, can't we go?" You know, or I hang around, "Come on, can't we go?" And I realize that I need to not be that constant dripping. He doesn't need that. He gets enough slack. These guys out on the mission field, their occupation is one of, people hate them. They don't like them, you know, and they're always giving them ugly looks and hateful words. And I need to be at home and welcome them home with love. And
Amen.
In Proverbs 12, this is just my last verse, 12, verse 4. Our kids are always asking, "Well, I don't understand what I can do to serve God." And of course, you know that we tell them they can witness to their friends in school and things like that. But we also say that the Lord, you know, He commands that the children obey their parents in all things. And that's one of the ways that they can serve the Lord. And this verse here says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones." And I feel like this is just one more thing maybe I can do as, you know, serving the Lord. I can go out with Billy, and I can talk with the people and do that part too. But I can also do my part at home, and I want to be a crown to my husband. I don't want it to be a thing. I don't want to be a thing that's just going to be a rottenness to his bones over the years. I want to be a crown to him and someone to just back him up at home and be his helpmate.
Amen. Amen.